So far in staff training, we have already built a really strong foundation for you and your team to have a really stellar year. We've talked about creating a team mission statement and getting your joint values as a group. We talked about how to create training time, either before or after school, preferably both. We even started to get into how that staff training should look. And today we're gonna get super detailed on how to teach your team to do what you do. That's actually what I wanted to title this video, how to teach people to do what you do, because that's what behavior skills training is. We actually did a little sneak peek of this video in one of our videos last month, but you didn't even know it. So this might not be brand new because we've already touched on this topic, but we're gonna get really detailed on how this looks and why you should utilize this training method in your classroom. So first, let's talk about the training methods that don't work, because I've done all of them, because it seems easier. It seems easier to just hope and pray that some of these easier training methods will work. My personal favorite is hope that my staff will watch what I do and just do the same thing, right? I don't tell them what to do. I don't really clarify that I'm doing what they want to do. I just go about my day and hope that people are doing what I'm doing. And if you've tried that, you know that that doesn't work, right? Other methods, watching your team member do it one time. That doesn't work very well. Telling them what to do without showing them what to do. That doesn't work very well. That's actually one of the hardest methods for me to learn something. When someone explains to me what to do, but doesn't show me, I, as a learner, really struggle because I'm not an auditory learner. I'm a visual learner. So I wanna see it in action. I'm all about DIY tutorials and videos that show me exactly the process. That's how I learn. And that's how some of your team members learn. And when we go for some of these strategies that just seem quicker, one, it doesn't work in the long run. And two, we're actually wasting time because we jump from strategy to strategy and we try to like do all these quick band-aids, but it doesn't cause that long-lasting change. And of course it doesn't. Because if you want to teach someone to do what you do, it's going to take a little time. Because the things that you do are amazing. You are a rock star teacher. You have great instincts when it comes to managing behavior and academic instruction and fading prompts, and you know so many strategies and you utilize them on a daily basis. You probably use them so quickly and readily that you don't even realize it. So how can we suddenly expect that we can teach someone else to do what we do in a day or two? That can't happen. You know too many cool things. It's gonna take a little bit more effort and a little bit more training time, but that's okay. Because if you remember last month, our goal is to replicate ourselves in our staff. Instead of there being one teacher, we want there to be three teachers, and we want that to be three stellar, amazing teachers that are consistent. So that's gonna take a little work and effort to get there, but don't be scared by that, because there is a process and a step-by-step way to do it, which if you know me, you know I love a step-by-step process. It helps me feel like I'm on a path and like I have steps that I have to follow instead of just kind of winging it. So today we're gonna talk about behavior skills training. This is an ABA concept. It's an evidence-based practice, meaning there's a ton of research that supports if you do behavior skills training in a specific way, it works. That always makes me feel better. When I know things are evidence-based and research-based, I'm like, okay, this is gonna give me a bang for my buck, and I know that this is gonna be effective if I do it in the right way. Behavior skills training is a train-the-trainer model. We wanna teach our staff members to teach our students just like we would. So it's gonna take a little bit of following this process to ensure that this happens. So the four steps to behavior skills training are instruction. We wanna tell our team members what we want them to do in a specific way. Then modeling. Remember, I'm a visual learner, so this step is crucial for me. I wanna see it in action. Then we have number three, rehearsal. You wanna watch your team member do what you just showed them how to do. And step four, feedback. Giving that corrective, great praise statements that make people wanna work harder and do those things more often. And then give those error correction statements as well to tweak things and do it the right way if it was done incorrectly. So we're really approaching teaching our team members to do something with the same rigor and thoroughness that we approach our academic instruction with our students. That's how we have to think about this. When you're teaching letter identification or answering WH questions to your students, you don't just show a few flashcards and like hope it works. No, it's a thorough, thought out process. The same goes for teaching some of these new skills to our team members. Because remember, just because you are great at fading prompts and you're great at doing planned ignoring and you're great at taking discrete trial data, these might still be new skills for some of your team members. So let's go through our four steps in detail. First is instruction. There are three things you have to make sure to include in your instruction step. First, you want to describe the skill. What is it you want your staff member to do? Do you want them to implement a behavior plan? Do you want them to implement prompt fading? Do you want them to collect data? Do you want them to teach a child to use their schedule? So explain the skill. And you want to possibly have this in writing, if possible. Obviously, this isn't always applicable or really needed if it's something pretty simple. Then you want to explain the importance or the rationale. Give the why. I see this forgotten pretty often. Some of the strategies we do utilize don't really make sense. Like planned ignoring. Planned ignoring makes no sense, right? Someone's getting your trying to get your attention. Why wouldn't you attend to them? But as we'll talk about this month, especially when we think about functions of behavior, the why behind planned ignoring suddenly makes sense. Hey, we don't want to give attention to an attention maintained behavior because it's going to keep that behavior from going up. So you've got to explain the why. Why are we collecting data? Like for real, answer that question. Why are you asking your team member to take data? And if you can't answer that question, you've got some thinking to do, right? We want data that's purposeful, that will help us make database decisions about our learners and to ensure that our kids are making progress and what level of progress they're making. So not just, oh, the district said we've got to take data. That's not a good enough reason for me to take data. Definitely won't be a good enough reason for your team members to take data. Then the third thing, you want to explain the when for the skill. When do you want this skill utilized? When do you want the data taken? When do you want the behavior plan implemented? When do you want the prompts faded? And there might be some when you do it and when you don't do it. There might be some times where, oh, you know, if we're short-staffed, if there's some type of emergency, then yeah, don't do data this day. Or, you know, we're not gonna care about fading prompts if there's some type of other situation going on. So teach that when to do it and when not to do it for that instruction piece. When you do the instruction piece will either be in your during the day training or after, before or after school training. If you're confused about that, hop back to last month and rewatch that How Do I Find Staff Training Time video. In that video, we talked about finding training time during the school day or outside of the school day. This instruction piece can be done in either component. So it can be done in those whole group staff meetings, but it also can be done when you're sitting one-on-one with one of your team members at their center, give the students some type of independent work for a few minutes, and then go over the instruction piece right before you jump into modeling. So it'll really build that connection of, hey, I just explained to you what I'm doing, now I'm gonna show you. So that brings us to step two, modeling. You want your team member to watch you do it correctly, preferably in situ with that exact learner they're gonna be working with. So if that means that you want them to run a reading group or an independent work center, you have them watch you. And some of these things might seem so obvious that you're like, why do they have to watch me run an independent work center? Isn't it so clear on what to do? Well, it might not be. And there's a lot of things that are subjective and dependent on the teacher's preferences. You know, for example, when I have staff members run an independent work center, I don't want team members to sit at the table with the kids because that's not the point. If students need prompts, I personally want team members to sit behind the learner and provide prompts from behind because we're building towards that independence. Well, not every staff member is gonna know that right away. So have them just watch you. Do no instruction with the kids, no multitasking. Don't ask them to cut out laminating pictures during this time. All they're doing is watching you do the skill that you want them to do. So You know, if this was the independent work example, they're gonna spend that whole 20-minute center just watching you sit behind a student, provide prompts as needed, you know, provide maybe gestural prompts for other kids to check their schedules, quietly taking some data, really not intervening. That's what you want them to see you doing. So that modeling piece is step two. Step three is rehearsal. So now we're gonna flip the table. Now they're going to do the skill. They're going to take data on an academic program. They're going to implement a behavior plan. They're going to transition the students between centers, and you are gonna watch. This might feel uncomfortable or weird for you or the team member, but remember, they just got to spend that time observing you. So it's gonna feel a little more natural than you'd think, where it's like, okay, you watched me, now I'm gonna watch you. It's a little more reciprocal. So have them complete the task, complete the activity, and watch them. And again, no multitasking here. I only say this because this is my downfall. I always am trying to do something else and be efficient. Now is not the time for efficiency. Now is the time for effective training. If you start doing other things like off-task behaviors, checking your email or making some schedule pictures, your team members are gonna think, oh wow, this isn't really that important. No, it is super important. So your attention is gonna give that message to them that this is super important. Then step four, feedback. You wanna give praise. Tell them what they did that was great. You wanna make sure that your team members feel super appreciated. Think about what we talked about in our reinforcement video. Give specific and immediate reinforcement and make it genuine. Be excited here. Then if there's anything to correct, this is the appropriate time. Give those error correction statements in a respectful, positive, we've all been there, we've all done it kind of way. Hey, you know, I noticed that you didn't take data till after the student left the center. I've tried to do it that way too. That's not best practice. We're gonna do it while the student is learning and while we're instructing. Let's try it again. So the big thing with behavior skills training in these four steps, instruction, modeling, rehearsal, feedback, the big key here is to continue this process until mastery. I get asked all the time, how long do I have to do this for? 2 days, a week, 4 days? There is no magic number. For some team members and some skills, you could do this in a day, and by the time you finish this in one or two rounds, or even one round, they've gotten it. By the time you get to rehearsal and feedback, they did it perfectly, you give all the praise, let's move on. Other team members, it might take longer. So we're gonna continue this until it works. We're not gonna continue this to some arbitrary number of days, like, oh, I've hit day five. First of all, I don't know why I looked at my watch, because there's no days in my watch, but we get to day five and staff training is done. Even though you're not doing it perfectly, that's good enough because it's supposed to last 5 days. This is why behavior skills training works, is because you do it until mastery. You do it until there's nothing left to correct. That at that feedback stage, all you're saying is good stuff. So that's the key here, is to do all the steps and to do it until it works. And you can't forget any of the steps, because if you do, it's not behavior skills training. And then it's not evidence-based. The rehearsal step and the feedback step are the things a lot of people forget. A lot of people do instruction, a lot of people do modeling, and then we're like, cool, you got it right. But you didn't really ensure that it generalized. It's the generalization piece. That's why the rehearsal is so important. And then reinforcement, which we've already talked a lot about, that feedback piece will ensure that we're continuing to see those great behaviors over and over again. So let's address the elephant in the room that we already have talked about a few times, but it keeps coming up. You feel weird about this, and you probably remember the same advice that I gave last month and 2 months ago. Get over it, right? We're gonna continue to get better with our skills as leaders. And this might feel weird at first. It might feel weird the third time and the fifth time. But the seventh time, it's gonna not feel as weird. And by the 10th, you're just gonna be like, boom, boom, boom. And your staff will be used to it. You will be comfortable, they will be comfortable. So get over the hurdle of being weird and feeling uncomfortable because this is new, and embrace it as something new. Tell your team, hey, we're doing something new this year, and it's gonna be great, and it's evidence-based, and they might not be super into it because, let's be real, people don't like to be observed, but that's okay. And just jump in and try it. And you're gonna have a lot of success, because if you go through this process of staff training with this amount of rigor, you will really begin that process of replicating yourself within your team, which is, I know, the goal that we all want. So in your download section, I have a free handout for you. I encourage you to post this in your class. I encourage you to print this and put this in your binder, because that handout lets everyone know what you're doing. It gets everyone on the same page, and it kind of makes it this not secret thing that we're doing and we're observing each other. No, this is how our team trains. And it's gonna let your administrators know, let your staff members know, and it's gonna kind of give you that license to kind of sit back and like, no, I'm not doing nothing. I'm at the rehearsal stage and I'm observing my team. You know, we always kind of feel weird if we're just observing. Like, our administrator might walk in and be like, what are you doing in here? You're doing nothing? You're like, no, I'm observing. Now you're like, yeah, I'm observing. It's part of behavior skills training. It's an ABA-based, evidence-based strategy for staff training. And then they're going to be like, oh, damn, okay, cool. And you're like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. So utilize the handout to kind of remind yourself and remind your team why you're doing this. Your call to action is, don't try to do this with a million things at once. Pick one staff member and one skill that you're gonna teach them. Whether that's transitioning between centers, whether that's bringing them to lunch the right way, whether that's bringing them to do hygiene tasks, pick one thing and utilize this strategy and share it in the Facebook group. I'm gonna do a call out to see what everyone's working on, and I hope you'll get some great ideas from everyone. And embrace that this process, even though it's new and different, is gonna really mimic how we teach our kids their academic skills, and we'll have the same amount of a success we have there. We're gonna have that same amount of success with our team. And I hope that once you start this process and see how great it works, that you go all in, because this is where we're gonna make these big, big results through all the areas, through instruction, through social skills, through behavior change, because we gotta get our team in place first.